Hello, and welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharakana. We invite you to join us on Thursdays at 8 p.m. for an engaging exchange with us and our special guest as we cover various topics regarding history, genealogy, and your personal family history stories. Hello, I'm Janice Gilliard.
And I'm Sharakana Feliciano. Welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharakana. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Today, we are joined by our guest, Joy Charles Kay, daughter of the late Melvin Charles. In 1967, Melvin Charles, an Elizabeth, New Jersey native, co-designed the Black American Heritage flag along with his friend Gleason T. Jackson. After the untimely death of Jackson, Charles continued to work tirelessly to make the flag a significant piece of living history for Black America. He wrote the book, The Rallying Point, to share his journey from the concept and design of the flag to the often difficult and sometimes heartbreaking work of promoting and sharing the flag with the public. He appeared at hundreds of meetings, conferences, conventions, churches, and schools along the East Coast and as far west as California, as well as making television and radio appearances. He was also a talented musician, photographer, and painter who worked for several years in the field of design display. He served in the United States Navy, receiving an honorable discharge. Melvin Charles passed away in 2017.
Joy Charles Kay spent her undergraduate years at Rutgers University, where she earned a BA in political science and English. She completed her graduate degree at Montclair State University, where she studied counseling with a focus on administration and supervision. She is currently the executive director of Montclair Shared Housing Association, which owns and operates the Montclair Inn. The only daughter of the late Melvin Charles, the co-designer of the Black American Heritage flag, and the late Ernestine Pryor Charles, the former director of pretrial intervention in Union County, New Jersey, Ms. Charles Kay is the president of the Black American Heritage Flag, LLC. This company's mission is to establish and maintain the legacy of the Black American Heritage Flag. Since 2021, Ms. Charles Kay has made public appearances and attended flag raisings to further the mission of the flag. She coordinated the second publishing of Melvin Charles' memoir, The Rallying Point, which is available on all online book-selling platforms. The Black American Heritage Flag, LLC, is working in partnership with Blackletics, Inc. on an athletic merchandise line that is now available. Ms. Charles Kay is active in her community as a member of the Omicron Xi Omega chapter of Alpha Kappa Alpha, aka Sorority, Inc., and the Worship and Creative Arts Ministry at Christ Church, Clifton, New Jersey. She resides in Northern New Jersey and is married with two adult children and one granddaughter. We are so excited to welcome to Speak On It, Joy Charles Kay.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here with us. All right. So let's just jump right in. As we mentioned in the bio, Joy, your father is from New Jersey, which is where you grew up. But what do you know about your father's family's origins, either his parents, grandparents, and however far back you can go?
So it's interesting. I know more about my mother's ancestry than my father's.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, my father was born in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and was raised there. His parents were from, my grandfather, Elijah Charles, was from Jakin, Georgia. And my grandmother, Alice Bull Charles, was from Roselle, New Jersey. Was actually born in New Jersey. I'm not sure what hospital.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's actually cool because you don't meet a lot of, you know, as you do genealogy in this space, a lot of us are used to hearing the story of people maybe being in the North for about a generation or two. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to hear that your grandmother was actually born in New Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah. And the Polk Riley, Barbara Polk Riley is a member of a genealogy group that we belong to, OGS, and her family. I think there's a school there, the Polk Riley School or Dr. Polk School. not sure if you're familiar with them, but they've been in Roselle for a long time. So, Joy, how did the civil rights movement impact your father's politics and inform his desire to create the flag? What about his military service? How did that impact his desire to create the flag as well?
Okay, well, if you've seen the PBS special that he did in 2014, he talks about watching parades when he was a little boy and how he, you know, always saw the American flag, the Italian flag, the Irish flag, but there was no flag for Black Americans. And so that's when the interest began when he was a little boy. And during the 60s, my parents were in their 30s, late 20s and early 30s then. And so they were very active in the civil rights movement. I mean, they took me to the Poor People's March on Washington. I can remember going to that. They went to go hear Malcolm X a lot in Harlem. They would go listen to him. And so they were very active and they were very, very vocal about it. My mother had a big afro and wore a lot of silver jewelry to work and actually got in trouble for that. So they were,
wow.
They were definitely Black power people.
That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of his military service, one of the things I remember him mentioning in the book is one of the things that's really cool about the book is that it's not just about the flag. It's also like about kind of the business of creating a flag and all the research that went into it. And I thought it was interesting, you know, when he mentioned his military service and how he looked at all the different symbols that you could see in different flags from different countries. Which I thought was really interesting. And it just, you're like almost in his head a little bit of like, as he's like going down this rabbit hole of flag research and flag symbols and what they mean. It's really interesting.
Yeah. Also the fact that there wasn't anything for us, you know, you see it for other cultures, but you don't see it for, you know, yourself. And then I do like the fact that you said you grew up, you know, being exposed to the civil rights, you know, movement. I did not. And so I had to learn, you know, as I went along and then was like, oh, okay, I can take it or leave it. Then as I got older, there was more of an interest in it. So to your advantage, I think that was really cool that you learned, you know, you grew up with the civil rights movement.
When I was growing up, we had a large, it was a painting. I don't know what it was made of, but it was a big canvas of the flag in our basement. So it was always there. I mean, I always knew what it was. And, you know, I was always exposed to what was going on politically, even though I was a little girl. So,
right. I think it's important because a lot of people just think that, oh, you know, as long as I'm okay, that's all that matters, you know? So having that sense of community and making a difference, not just standing by and letting things happen and growing up with that experience. His military service, can you highlight that a little bit? You know, how that, as far as what you know,
well,
how it affected him.
It affected him. I don't know. I was a little kid when he was talking about his military service. So he was excellent at cleaning my room. And that he got from the military.
Well, there you have it.
As well as packing. Mm-hmm. He was great at packing and, you know, and things like that. And he loved the travel. He was able to go to a lot of different countries. And so he loved that. And I mean, he, you know, I'm hearing a lot from, you know, the Secure the Tribe reparations crew out in California, and they have taken the flag on as their own. And I have to often remind people that as much as my father loved his culture, obviously, and loved this flag, he loved being an American as well. And the fact that he went to other places and saw how other people lived in other countries made him even more proud to be a Black American.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, that is something that comes up, you know, in the book is how, as they're promoting it, they wanted it to be clear that it was to establish pride in Black American culture, but it wasn't meant to be in opposition to, you know, the American flag or to kind of subvert And so they wanted, you know, they wanted to be clear about that. And sometimes people did not always get that. Before we move on to the specifics of the flag, I mean, you've mentioned your mom and she sounds very interesting. I know that this interview is mainly about your dad and the flag, but, you know, did you want to share a little bit more about your mom and maybe her background? And, you know, it sounds like she was also, as you said, very much into the Black Power movement. So please share a little bit about her as well.
Okay. So my mother grew up in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and her parents moved to Elizabeth from Greenville, South Carolina. My grandmother was a domestic and my grandfather was the head of maintenance at Steinberg's store. It was a department store. I think it was called Steinberg's. Anyway, a department store in Elizabeth. So they moved here because they, you know, needed work. They were able to buy a house in Elizabeth and they sent my mother to college, which they were very proud of. And so my mother went to North State College, which is now, you know, Kane University. She became a teacher. She hated teaching. She said she would fall asleep during the reading lessons for first graders. And so she became a social worker and worked at the welfare board in Elizabeth and then moved on to the probation department and then became the head of pretrial intervention. And that was the last job she had before she retired.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can you describe for our listeners, what does the flag look like and what do the symbols on it mean?
Okay, so the flag has two diagonal triangles on the end that are red. In the center, it is black. And in the center of the black portion of the flag is a wreath in a semicircle. And then the center of that is a sword. And so the red stands for the blood that was shed by Black Americans over the course of time from slavery on. And then the black is for the pride in our pigmentation. The gold is for prosperity and prosperity and peace. And the sword stands for the strength of our people. It's a Moorish boarding sword, which my father goes into in detail in the book. If you read the rallying point, it really points out more of the details.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have to say, you know, I probably first was introduced to the flag maybe about, I don't know, 2017. It was a little bit before, and we'll get into it a little bit later with Saweetie, but it was before that time. Mm-hmm. But I just remember when I first saw it, I was like, this is a cool flag. It's like a very just nice, I mean, dare I say, kind of sexy, like, flag. You know, it just, mm-hmm. it has a power to it. It has like a sleekness to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I thank your father and Gleason T. Jackson for, you know, their design and their creativity, because it is it's a really nice flag.
Thank you.
So, excuse me. How did creating and sharing the flag impact your father and Gleason Jackson's social and personal life? And what lessons do you think they learned in the process? And in doing some of my own reading, I saw that a lot of the churches weren't really feeling it when it first came out.
No, the churches weren't, the NAACP wasn't. I mean, nobody was really feeling it. I think, you know, it was 1967, so it was toward the end of the civil rights movement. Martin Luther King was assassinated in 1968. And so, you know, it was a shift in society. But they just came up against so much opposition at every turn. It was very difficult for them. And if you can imagine, beginning it was hard, but it was exciting for them because they were getting a little bit of recognition. But then after Gleason Jackson died, it was really hard for my father to keep going with it. He was brokenhearted, and yet he still wanted this flag to represent us, and was still trying to convince people that we needed this flag.
Yeah. I also noted that there's a quote, it says, please be mindful when you purchase Black American Heritage flag products in this grab and go culture. Many have not honored the original design, meaning that people are going, taking it and doing what they wanted to do, you know, on their own.
Well, that's the society we live in today, unfortunately, that people will grab, you know, images and create their own from them. It's a difficult situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, respect is everything. I thought it was disrespectful. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it kind of just goes to show, again, like part of the process of flag making and going from starting the design, trying to implement the design, publicizing the design. Now the design is out there, trying to, you know, maintain the integrity of the design.
Right? Yes.
You know, so it really is, it is a nonstop living, breathing experience with this flag, for sure.
So I'm in the process of establishing the trademark for it.
Great.
And so that has been an interesting process as well. But yeah.
I bet. Trademarks can be tricky.
Yes.
In the foreword, you mentioned the murder of George Floyd and social media as contributing to some of the increased interest in the flag.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think shifted in society after his murder that opened the door to more discussion and awareness about the flag?
Well, I think, you know, people were so angry, brokenhearted, disgusted, you name it, from that horrible act. And I think, you know, with the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, people in all generations were beginning to see that, you know, what's gone on with the Black community is now under a microscope. We could now really see it. You know, it was a difficult time, I would say, even before that, because I was thinking about my son, who's now 28 years old, when he was a senior in high school. You know, was it Michael Brown who was murdered? There were a lot of murders of Black boys. Right. And so by the time George Floyd was murdered, you know, people had enough. And so now there was a new sense of, you know, belonging to this Black culture, pride in our culture that we had not seen in 30, 40 years. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So throughout the book, we see your father traveling to various cities and states to spread the word about the flag. In the foreword, you mentioned Massachusetts, specifically Springfield and Salem. What important role did those cities in Massachusetts play in the publicizing of the flag?
Well, Springfield, Massachusetts held their first flag raising 38 years ago. My father met a woman named Dr. Ruth B. Loving, who was a civil rights activist, I will say, in Springfield. And so that's where they had the first flag raising in Massachusetts was there. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Loving was so intent on raising the flag every year that, you know, she, you know, asked one of the congressmen if they would do it every single year, even, you know, after she passed away in 2014. But they've been doing it consistently.
Wow.
On the first day of February, every single year, rain, snow, sleet, hail. They're raising.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now so, with, go ahead.
In terms of Salem, so Salem contacted me in 2021.
Uh-huh.
Someone from Salem, Doreen Wade is her name, contacted me because they celebrate Negro Election Day, which is the third weekend in July. And they wanted to use the flag as a representative of their organization, Salem United? And I said, of course, yes. And so they've been using the flag ever since and really promoting it. So it's part of their parade that they have. They have a parade, they have a picnic. It's getting bigger and bigger.
Wow. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. And with that though, you know, juxtaposing that to New Jersey, but you've got some good news. It seems like I saw your Instagram, something in Linden, New Jersey that happened. I don't know if you wanted to share with that.
Sure. So a couple of years ago, I would say 3 years ago, I called the mayor's office in Linden to see, you know, if they would, you know, allow us to raise the flag. I wasn't sure because, you know, my father had a very difficult time in Linden back in the 60s. They really didn't want him to raise the flag. Even the town council wouldn't approve it unless the NAACP sanctioned it. So I called and the mayor said, of course. And so every year we've been raising the flag.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I'm sure your father is really proud.
Yes. It's a very special.
Do you get a lot of calls? Like anything from museums or schools, like, you know, expressing an interest or?
Not really. Not yet. I'll say not yet. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of inquiries from people who are on Twitter/X mm-hmm. or on Instagram. You know, people will reach out to me or even on TikTok. On social media, I get requests for various different types of things.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was, I may have even sent you a DM about this and you probably didn't even realize who it came from, but I remember, I want to say it was the Black American Parade. And I was noting like, yeah, we got to see more of that flag at the Black American Parade next year. So hopefully this year when it happens, we'll see it. And, you know, it's definitely making waves on social media for sure.
Yeah. Which parade? Because there are many.
Oh, okay. The one in New York, the one in Harlem.
The one in New York. Okay. Yeah.
The one in Harlem. Yeah.
Because it was definitely part of the Juneteenth parade in Elizabeth.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So
it's interesting. I almost think, I wonder if it's got more visibility in New Jersey, which makes sense because that's its birthplace. But I would love to see it, you know, at the New York parade in Harlem. That would be really cool.
Mm.
So at the 2021 Met Gala, rapper Saweetie, who is half Filipina, half Black American, she donned a dress representing the flag of her two cultures. Mm-hmm. And she included the Black American flag in the design of the dress. And it sparked a lot of conversation on social media. And I'm just curious, you know, how did you feel when you found out about it? And when did you find out about it? And how'd you feel about it?
Found out about it probably, I think it was the morning after the Met Gala. Mm-hmm. People were sending it to me from all over the country. Wow. And my children were like, oh my gosh, Mom, we've made it. Saweetie is wearing the flag. So, and I reached out to the designer, Christian Cowan, who got back to me, and I sent him a copy of the book, and he was so honored that I thought it was that he had done such a great design. So,
wow.
Yeah. I didn't hear from Saweetie, though, but I did hear from the designer.
So what is your vision for the future of the flag?
Wow. Well, there are a few things I'd like to see happen. I would like to do a documentary about the flag, you know, from its very beginning, you know, really telling the story. I would also like to do a children's book about the flag.
I think a really, really good idea.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And did you want to talk more about the collaboration with Blackletics, which I think absolutely is a really cool idea.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So I got in touch, or I should say Rodney Watkins, who is the owner of Blackletics, got in touch with me. And he was such a great guy, and just said, well, I'd be interested in working with you. And you know, but let me know if you're working with someone else, because I don't want to infringe on, you know, another organization that might be selling merchandise. And I was at the time, I was working with someone who had a bigger clientele, who had a bigger organization, and who was really doing very well. But then that person wasn't fully committed to me and to the flag, which is fine. And so then I reached back to Rodney and Blackletics, and, you know, we've been working together ever since. It's great. He's like the age of my kids, and you know, but he's really committed to his products, and they've been good ones, and we're going to continue to work together and design other products, you know, as the years go by. I can't believe it's been since 2021, we've been working together. 2022, I'm sorry. We've been working together. And sure, we could probably be doing a whole lot more, but we want to be, we've been strategic about what we're doing. And so you'll see more in terms of our collaboration as time goes on.
That's awesome.
I have a question. You mentioned your children. What do they think about the flag?
Like me, they always grew up with it. They don't know anything other than they're like, oh, it's grandpa's flag, you know, as they were growing up. But I have to say, at one point, my daughter was in the first grade, and she was the only Black child in her class. And she was supposed to, they were doing a presentation of the countries that they were from. And so they had to wear the flag of their country of origin. And so my father designed a t-shirt for her and painted it. And I have a picture of her on my Instagram, I think, you know, with her classmates wearing that little flag. So, I mean, they've just always, they've always known about it. I think it's interesting for them to see how it's taken off and you know, how people are so interested in the design, and you know, it's really amazing.
And you know what I think is very cool was to see the graduation sashes. I don't know the official name for those, but you know, it's nice that Black American students can have that to wear at a graduation. It was not something that was, you know, available before. And I think typically a lot of Black Americans, you know, if they wanted to rep their culture, would use kente cloth. That was sort of like the go-to. And kente cloth is beautiful. And it's for, you know, celebrations and things like that. But it's, you know, it's Ashanti, it's Ghanaian, it's from Ghana, and it's very specific, you know, to that area. And it's like, for those of us, it's sort of like you're reaching for something. And it's nice to have that, the flag as an option also for Black American students for that, I guess, cultural specificity.
Yes.
You know,
like that was really good, Terracotta, cultural specificity. Mm-hmm. So in asking about your children, in my mind, I'm thinking long term, and that they would be the legacy keepers, or like, how do you, in terms of longevity, so that it doesn't die out? Like if something, God forbid, something happens to you, then they're prepared to continue the legacy of the flag.
They are. They're part of the corporate structure.
Awesome.
And so they are part of the decisions that I make, mostly my daughter, because my daughter is a podcaster.
Oh,
and a pretty famous one. So so she helps to keep me or she keeps a watch over, you know, what's happening in media.
Right.
And what I'm doing in social media, you know, oh, you need more of this, or you don't need to do this, or maybe you need to focus on something else. So she owns her own business. So.
Okay. Yeah. I'm happy to hear that. Cause so often, you know, when one person passes on and there was nothing planned, then, you know, where do you, what happens to that information? What happens to the legacy of it? And the history and the truth and the experiences, the lived experiences about it. So thank you for sharing.
I've tried to be more specific about that. I mean, my father didn't put anything in place, really. I mean, thank God he wrote the book, and thank God he did that interview in 2014. I do have all the archives, though. But, you know, before he passed away, we had talks about the flag, and even about his PBS special, because I would tell him every year, oh, posting it on my Facebook. And he was like, well, what's Facebook? He just wanted me to, you know, get in touch with Steve Harvey. That was his thing. So I sent an email to Steve Harvey for him. But, you know, really, you know, he was tired, and he had taken it as far as it could go. And thank God, you know, I had the wherewithal to answer the call in 2020.
Yes, I like that.
When I saw that, you know, people on Reddit were so interested in the flag, and I said, I've got to get ahead of this so that this legacy is not lost, because it is a very precious one. And so that's when I started. I you know, I was working backwards. I started the social media first, then the website.
Right.
And then the book was not available. Well, it was on Amazon, but it was $800.
Woo.
Because it was out of print.
Right.
So I had to take my copy and have it reprinted so that it could be available.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you really, I like that, answering the call.
Answering the call. I wrote that down, Sharikana. Answer the call.
That's exactly what you did.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's rejoicing over you answering the call.
He's probably in shock. Like, I never thought she could do this.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You were such a little girl, you know, a young girl in the book. And, you know, it's so nice to see this kind of full circle moment, because as he's writing his experience and he's sort of referencing you and you're a kid, and you know, you don't know what's really going on, and now you are the one to you know, move it forward and pick up the mantle.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable
to me. Wow.
It is.
Like, I appreciate your honesty. That's so cool. You're like, yeah, he's probably in shock.
Yes. I mean, he gave his heart and soul to this flag, I have to tell you. I mean, you know, it cost him his marriage, you know.
Wow.
So it was costly. It was costly. So
yeah, that's real.
Yeah. But you know, I know my father's heart, and he would only want this to spread to, you know, across the country, because we deserve this, right?
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some parting words that you would like to share with our listeners?
I would just like to say thank you to those who are supporting the flag, who either by, you know, word of mouth, or by purchasing a shirt, or, you know, posting on their social media. I am overwhelmed by just the love and the appreciation that people have for our culture and for the flag itself. You know, people who are reading the book, it's amazing to me. And I'm grateful. And I just want to say thank you to everyone. And I hope they continue to embrace, you know, the message of the Black American Heritage flag.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that. Joy Charles Kay, thank you so much for sharing with us and our listeners. Can you let our listeners know where they can find out more about you, the flag, and all that good stuff?
So the flag they can find on the website, which is originalblackamericanheritageflag.com. And then we are on Facebook, we're on Instagram, X, and did I say TikTok?
No.
And TikTok.
All right. So you got all the grounds covered.
Yes, and I am the social media person. So.
Awesome, awesome. With your daughter's eye.
Yes.
Well, we thank our listeners. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to sharing with you during our next segment of Speak On It. Speak On It is a podcast and is immediately available to listen to at your leisure. Thank you.